Calling 911 when in an accident may just not be enough. Car accident, remember. After 911, call 411. 1-800-411-PAIN. 1-800-411-PAIN is a legal and medical referral service. Non-employee spokesperson.
Welcome to 7-9 The Ticket. Greg Likens here alongside the Miami Herald's Manny Navarro, filling in for Josh Friedman. Hope everybody's doing well. I say that every time I'm on the air because I legitimately and genuinely hope everybody's doing well, and I hope everybody's doing better than Ryan Tannehill. Man, what a roller coaster ride we've been on since this morning. We're going to go into all the details on that in just a moment. If you want to get involved in the conversation, you can do so via text at 67974. That's 67974. You can also call the show at 786-360-0790. Manny, good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
As always, and it's always interesting in the world of sports talk radio regarding, you know, coming up with topics, what we're going to discuss. But some days, you just kind of know because developments occur. And with Ryan Tannehill, which we'll get into the details in a moment, that's one of those days.
Yeah, today when I saw the story break, I immediately thought, man, heat season might be getting started really early down here if Ryan Tannehill has a serious knee injury. Because, depression would set in for Dolphins fans, I'm sure, if this is serious. And we still don't know. I know there's been reports that have said initially that it wasn't that serious, but as Armando Salguero reported for the Herald, he's not out of the woods.
No. So let's give everybody the latest. If you're just tuning in and you know that Ryan Tannehill suffered an injury. So here's the scenario. This morning, Dolphins are practicing, and Ryan Tannehill gets flushed out of the pocket. He's rolling to his right. Ndamukong Suh is bearing down on him, and of course, he's got the red jersey on, so nobody's going to touch him, but he gets near the sideline, plants his left leg, and all of a sudden, the knee just buckles. I mean, we saw this because a video surfaced a couple hours after the fact. He falls over. He's down for 45 seconds to a minute. Everybody's surrounding him. The trainers are there. He's able to get up, walk under his own power into the facility with the medical staff with him, which is a scene at a football practice that you never want to see. Doesn't matter if it's him or I was there on Monday when Jay Ajayi did the same thing and ended up being a concussion. But the team gathered together after practice, which the only other time that's happened so far in training camp, Manny, is when Draymond Green addressed the team on Sunday because he was there and spoke to them. Otherwise, they haven't all gotten together. But Adam Gase, apparently, according to players coming off the field speaking to the local media, told them not to say anything about Tannehill's injury. So, of course, everybody was asked about Tannehill's injury. That's all anybody cared about. Some players did mention, though, that they're praying for Ryan Tannehill. So we then have a few-hour period where that's really all we know. The video surfaces, and we hear prayers are there, and of course, everybody's assuming the worst. And this is probably the worst time to be monitoring social media because everybody's jumping to this conclusion, that conclusion, perhaps the worst case scenario. But we found out at about 4 o'clock this afternoon, according to multiple reports, Tannehill hyperextended his left knee, but sustained no structural damage. This according to the MRI, and this was according to multiple sources. However, not long after that report came out, as you just referenced, Armando Salguero, the Miami Herald, said this. I'm going to read from his report. Ryan Tannehill's MRI this afternoon to determine the extent of his new left knee injury proved inconclusive, requiring further study, and all options remain on the table per multiple sources. That means that in the worst-case scenario, it could still be determined that Tannehill needs surgery on his left knee. It could also mean, however, that the quarterback could once again avoid surgery and find a way to get back on the field this season. He says reports that Tannehill basically got a clean bill of health from the MRI are not correct at this time because further examination of that MRI may give a specialist pause. So this is what Armando says.
Right.
And, you know, that's pretty self-explanatory. So we're in this no man's land of sorts where I think some people were initially reacting that, okay, you dodge the bullet. It's not the worst case scenario because this is the same knee that Ryan Tannehill left the Cardinals game last year because he got the direct hit from Calais Campbell, missed the rest of the season. And it was determined after that that he had a sprain of the ACL and the MCL, which is a slight tear.
Right.
He decided not to get the reconstructive surgery and just opted to go through the healing process naturally, had a stem cell procedure. But other than that, he has said that everything was fine. So, Manny, I know that there's nothing that's definitive here, but certainly it begs all sorts of questions. Should he have had this surgery before, and maybe we wouldn't even be here at this point? Is this completely different injury that may have happened otherwise that has nothing to do with the previous injury? Or are we talking about them, if the worst-case scenario that Armando points out here, are we talking about them needing to sign a new quarterback? Is this Matt Moore's team now? I mean, we can go a number of different directions, which we will do throughout the course of this evening.
Well, listen, I've covered sports for 22 years now, and anytime somebody goes for a second opinion and the first MRI is inconclusive, usually the results are not good. The second results are really just to confirm that the first results weren't good. So I'm worried. I'm worried for the Dolphins. I'm worried for Tannehill. And, you know, you watch the video, which has been circulating, as you said, and it looks terrible. The guy makes a move and all of a sudden just falls, completely crumples to the ground. And, you know, just having recovered from that same injury last year, it feels like either A, he didn't heal correctly, or B, he probably should have had the surgery. Because everything I've been told in the past when guys, you know, the redo the surgery is because you want to fully heal. You don't want to just sort of half-ass it, if it's the right word.
Right.
But obviously, look, the Dolphins, they all know they have doctors, they have people who say, look, this is the right approach to take. What I'm saying is, history has told me in the past, when you do the surgery, it's usually better than not having the surgery. That's been my experience.
And yeah, and you've covered all the different sports, all sorts of injuries, and that makes a whole lot of sense. Well, we're going to hear in just a moment from a couple of people, Clyde Christensen, the offensive coordinator, who, by the way, what also kind of made this a murky situation today is that Adam Gase, and this was pre-planned, wasn't supposed to address the media. I mean, he has been addressing the media after every single practice. They had said today and tomorrow they're going to have – today the offensive assistant coaches, tomorrow the defensive assistant coaches in the build-up to this scrimmage, which takes place on Saturday at Hard Rock Stadium. So, of course, the one day so far in training camp that the head coach doesn't address the media is when we've got this – potentially calamitous injury scenario. Yeah. You can't get any clarity on that. But Clyde Christensen did talk about it. So we're going to hear from him in a moment. Also, we're going to hear what Ryan Tannehill had to say on day one of training camp in just a moment. But before we get to all of that, let's go to headlines.
Here's what's trending now in Miami on The Ticket. WAXYAM South Miami and FM 104.3 HD2 Miramar.
The radio home of the Miami Heat.
We'll start with today's big news that Manny and I were just discussing. Dolphins quarterback Ryan Tannehill injured his left knee during a team drill this morning at practice, and there are conflicting reports regarding his status. According to multiple outlets, he hyperextended the knee but sustained no structural damage. However, Armando Salguero of the Miami Herald says that the results of Tannehill's MRI were inconclusive, meaning Tannehill may still need surgery but also could avoid a procedure and be back on the field this season. Albert Breer of the MMQB says Tannehill will get a second opinion on the knee. We will update you as more information becomes available. Another injury news, according to the Herald's Barry Jackson, the Dolphins fear that offensive guard Ted Larson has a torn bicep and could miss extensive time. Elsewhere in the NFL, the Cowboys and Cardinals will kick off the preseason during tonight's Hall of Fame game from Canton. That contest is set to begin at 8 o'clock. To college football, where the preseason coaches poll was released today, and the Miami Hurricanes are ranked number 18. Elsewhere around the state, Florida is two spots ahead of the Canes at 16th, while Florida State is number 3. Alabama is the preseason number 1, followed by Ohio State, the Seminoles, USC, and Clemson to round out the top 5. And finally, in baseball, the Marlins had the day off before beginning a weekend series in Atlanta tomorrow night. And those are your headlines. So we are going to talk some Miami Hurricanes a little bit later. Susan Miller-Degnan, who does a great job covering the Canes for the Miami Herald, will join us later in the 8 o'clock hour, about 8:35, 8:40. We're also going to talk about this Tannehill situation, about the Hall of Fame ceremonies this weekend with O.J. McDuffie. That's coming up at 8:15, the former Dolphins great wide receiver, as he's going to Canton. He's leaving tomorrow to be up there with Jason Taylor as he gets inducted, which is going to be a special moment for all Dolphins fans. So We'll talk about all of that, but let's focus back in on Ryan Tannehill for a moment. And Manny, you just referenced that based on everything you've been around in terms of injuries in sports, that you're better off having the surgery than not. And listen, you and I don't have medical backgrounds.
Right.
And I know that the medical staff of the Dolphins and whoever else Tannehill talked to, I'm sure, you know, this is what they do. So mm-hmm. I'm sure they think they made the right decision. But just for perspective here, this is what Ryan Tannehill had to say day one of training camp. So the 27th, he comes in, and to give you an idea where his head was at in regards to his knee, this is how he addressed a question about how he was feeling, how that left knee was doing in practice.
Just so everyone hears, the knee is really good. Feels really good. I haven't had any changes since the spring, so I was full participant in the spring and still going really well. All right, now we don't have to address that anymore, right? We're good.
How's your
right? Your knee's feeling really good. So, I appreciate you know, it's been a journey, right? You know, I think, you know, dealing with the injury like that for the first time was a tough process for me, but the building, everyone around me really supported me throughout that whole process, and glad to be back out here and feeling really healthy again.
So that was just over a week ago.
Happier times.
I mean, right? I mean, listen to the tone of that. I mean, he felt great. He was joking about mm-hmm. his knee.
Well, I think part of that, too, is deep down inside, probably defending the decision not to have surgery. Because, you know, he's part of that process, obviously. And we don't know the story. We don't know if Ryan Tannehill specifically said, I don't want to have surgery. Let's go this other route. But that could have been the case. Maybe he said, instead of having the surgery, maybe taking a little longer to come back, I want to be ready for the start of camp, be ready for the start of season right away. And that was an option. And so, to me, look, in the end, we talked about it earlier. The Dolphins have doctors. They have their specialists. I'm sure he got plenty of opinions on the matter. But the fact is, he didn't have the surgery. If he would have had the surgery, we might not be in this situation.
So, I'm not sure if we question the medical staff here or is what you're alluding to, Manny. Maybe he was just headstrong about it and says, right. if these are two viable options and that you're telling me I can not go under the knife and still potentially come back healthy and normal, then maybe it was him overriding any medical opinion that he received. Either way, it's opening up the door for us to at least question this situation and the decision-making process regarding the knee. He missed the final 3.5 games of last season. He's been wearing this knee brace ever since, which if you saw the video, you can see that was the knee that buckled. It also, I know that Adam Gase didn't speak, but one of the big questions that popped up is what was the reaction from the players and the people who were there. Clyde Christensen, the offensive coordinator, addressed the media this morning following practice. And listen, he was in a tough spot because I'm sure when they told him he was addressing the media before all this happened that he just assumed, hey, we'll talk about what's going on offense, no big deal. And then the Tannehill injury happened. So this is what he said the mindset was of everybody involved once Tannehill went down.
Initial reaction is just, hey, okay, next man up, and you got to just keep going, and you got to keep guys going, and you can't let the air go out of practice, and that's football, and it's going to happen somewhere in this season, it's going to happen somewhere in the game, and so part of it is just getting the right reaction that, hey, back in the huddle, you know, that the game doesn't stop, and you go on to the next play, and we go, and then obviously my personal thing is, boy, I sure hope it isn't serious.
I think it was probably more of the latter overall, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, think about it, Manny, like, I understand football, especially of all the sports, I mean, you have to become numb to the idea that, one, you could get injured, and two, your teammates will get injured because inevitably it's going to happen. So you have to have that next man up mindset. But when you're talking about the franchise quarterback,
right,
that's a completely different situation, isn't it?
Yeah. Deep down inside, Christensen was sweating. He didn't know what to do. He was just like, I gotta go to my company line, my company quote, and use it. And that's what he did. And I'm sure right now he's dying inside. Look, the Dolphins made the playoffs last year. They had a fabulous run there for a while, and they finished good. You know, they had a good season, and this was going to be the next step, coming back with Ryan Tannehill, a second year in Gase's system, and now you're in danger of losing all that. We were talking off air before the show about this. If this is a serious injury and he's going to be out a significant amount of time, let's say, you know, 3/4 of the season at the very least, As a franchise, do the Dolphins now have to look at the quarterback position and just say, maybe we got to go out and get somebody else, and his knee might not ever be the same? Those are questions that I think have to be bouncing in the heads of people in the front office with the Dolphins.
Lots of questions. You're right. Many different topics that are being broached now. We're going to text about this. So WPLG had video from Tannehill showing him walking back into the front of the facility hours after he sustained the injury. And so, you know, it was interesting to see that he was walking on his own. He had a sleeve on his left knee. Again, this is just from watching the video. I mean, right. It looked like he was walking pretty well. Maybe there was a slight limp in the step, but I'm going to get your opinion on this in a moment, Manny. But what I tweeted this out earlier, and what I've always remembered when it comes to ACL injuries is I remember being at the stadium covering a Dolphins game during that ill-fated 1-15 season. The record-setting Patriots were in town and ended up winning like 49-28, and it was brutal. But Ronnie Brown was like one of the only Dolphins who was having a good year. And in that game, he tore his ACL. It was after an interception. He was trying to tackle the interceptor, and he tore his ACL. And in the moment, we didn't know that was the severity of the injury, because after he was down, he literally walked off.
Right.
And in the locker room after the game, he said, no, I mean, I can put pressure on it. I can walk fine, no issues. And we find out a day or two later that he had torn his ACL. So I would just tell everybody that, yeah, you can watch this sort of video, but it doesn't usually tell the whole story.
No, body language doesn't. And I think more than anything, what I take away from it was the cut. As soon as he went to make that cut, he crumpled to the ground. To me, that has to do, and again, I'm not a doctor, but I've watched enough football, been around it enough, having covered University of Miami for years, that when you see somebody who coming off of a knee injury, a serious knee injury the season before, for them to have that sort of reaction where they hit the ground and their knee just crumples, to me, that spells of tears or the knee just not being structurally strong enough to handle a cut like that. Guys don't just fall down like that. If there's something wrong with the knee, those are the type of things that happen. Whether or not he walked off under his own power, that's doesn't matter, because like you said, I've seen plenty of athletes tear an ACL, you know, rip their Achilles and walk off the field, you know? So I wouldn't read too much into the video as far as him walking off. I think it has more to do with the way he fell. That, to me, as soon as I saw it, I said, this is bad.
Well, and it also begs the question that even if he gets past this with, you know, it's not a worst case scenario, maybe there's a hyperextension and he's going to be able to come back, maybe even for the start of the season. We've got about 5 weeks until then. You still have to wonder, and to your point about looking big picture at the quarterback position, will this be a lingering problem?
Right.
Because it could just be another cut. It could be, you know, a direct hit. And I know that you can argue that anybody in the NFL, they take a hit to the knee or they make a wrong cut. I mean, this can happen to anybody. So I don't want to make it seem like this is just Ryan Tannehill. But with the history there now, it does make you think, oh my gosh, like, what are they going to do? Because everybody is relying on him when it comes to the Dolphins building on that 10-win season last year.
Yeah, and he's 29 years old. You know, if he ends up missing this season, he'll be 30 going into next year, having back-to-back serious knee injuries. And, you know, the Dolphins, to me, at this point, you got to start to look at the quarterback position in general. Do you start looking at draft picks, you know, potentially drafting a backup? Matt Moore isn't the answer. We know that. He's the backup. Do you go out and take a risk on a guy like Colin Kaepernick, who nobody seems to want to sign, but obviously has talent and still young? I think he's 29 himself. So I don't know. I don't know what the right answer is, but if I'm the Dolphins, I'm thinking I got to think plan B right now. You can't just say, oh, Ryan's our quarterback, we're just going to wait for him to come back. I think you have to start making plans for plan B, or at least have some sort of fallback plan if this turns out to be really bad.
I want to open this up to our audience. I know that I've been surveying the landscape of social media, so I know that people are passionate about this and are interested one way or the other, depending on the outcome of this next MRI for Ryan Tannehill. But what do you think of the Dolphins' current quarterback situation? Manny just mentioned Matt Moore, Colin Kaepernick. I've heard Jay Cutler's name. We'll get into all of those options in more detail when we come back, but if you want to join in the conversation, please do. 786-360-0790 on the phone line. 786-360-0790. You can also text the show at 67974, 67974. We're just getting started. That's Manny Navarro. I'm Greg Likens filling in for Josh Friedman. We'll be back right after this on 790 The Ticket. The Ticket and Publix, where shopping is a pleasure, present the Memorial Family Birthplace Baby Love Event, Friday, September 15th from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Museum of Discovery and Science in downtown Fort Lauderdale. Expectant and new parents can enjoy an evening filled with activities, learn about the latest products for their growing families, exclusive discounts, celebrity photo ops, and chances to win amazing prizes. Sponsored by A&P Air Conditioning, official sponsor of the Storybook Photo Station. For tickets and more info, log on to theticketmiami.com. Welcome back here to 790 The Ticket. Greg Likens with you alongside the Miami Herald's Manny Navarro as we're filling in for Josh Freeman tonight. Hope everybody's doing well. We've been talking all about Ryan Tannehill, the latest with his injured left knee, a non-contact scenario this morning in practice. Again, we've got conflicting reports. Initially, we heard there was just a hyperextension of that left knee, but no structural damage. However, Armando Salguero is saying that essentially they're not out of the woods yet. That sounds fine, but it could go one way or the other. It could be a very serious season-ending type injury. It could be what everybody's describing, but it appears there's going to be another MRI that takes place. So we've been talking about that, and we're going to take your phone calls. We've got some people waiting by patiently. But as Manny alluded to before the break, now you have to look at the quarterback situation. So Matt Moore, he came in and actually did a nice job for Ryan Tannehill at the end of last year. I mean, he went 2-1 in the regular season, 8 touchdowns, just 3 interceptions. Nobody on the Dolphins had a very good showing in the playoff game. So I'm not going to blame him for that.
Right.
I'm going to blame the entire team because it was a bad performance. The injuries on defense certainly caught up to them in a big way. But Moore, over the course of his career, 15-13 as a starter, and has stayed with this Dolphins organization. He originally came in 2011. Chad Henne went down. He ended up going 6-6 as a starter that year and was named the team's MVP. So he's done some nice work for this Dolphins team and is very well respected. I can tell you it has a leadership voice in the locker room. So if they need him to step in, you know, he'll be ready to go. And Adam Gase likes him as well. However, this does bring up the topic of what other quarterbacks could they potentially go after? Because take nothing away from Brandon Doughty and David Fales, who have the quarterbacks on the roster. I think if Tannehill is going to miss extended time, then there are some other names that they're going to have to look at. And, of course, Colin Kaepernick has been the hot one. Jake Cutler, even though he has retired and is now an analyst for the NFL on Fox, even though he hasn't called a game yet,
right?
His name keeps being brought up because he and Adam Gase worked together in Chicago. He actually had a very nice season for Adam Gase, but, you know, by his standards, with the Bears that year they were together. I've heard Tony Romo's name mentioned today,
right?
Robert Griffin III. What do you think about all of these quarterbacks who are potentially available? Again, the Romo and Cutler have other jobs,
right?
So that's no guarantee. But a guy like Kaepernick, who's been a hot-button topic, Robert Griffin III, who has at least the name value, what do you think, Manny, about the Dolphins exploring other options?
Well, to me, obviously the two older guys, you know, you'd have to convince them to come back and play. I think you could probably get it done with Cutler because of his history with Gase. But we saw Cutler last season and a bad Chicago Bears team. And, you know, to me, the exciting player is Kaepernick. 16 touchdowns, 4 interceptions last year. I know he's got all the controversy surrounding him, but to me, he's a cheap option who is out there who you don't have to commit to long term. You could give him a year contract and just let him see what he does. If the injury to Tannehill is serious and he's out for a significant amount of time, would you prefer to see Matt Moore under center and potentially one of those other guys if Matt Moore goes down? Or would you, as a Dolphins fan, be excited at the prospect of giving a guy like Colin Kaepernick, who's 29, a chance, who's been to the Super Bowl with a good 49ers team, giving him a chance to run this team? And, you know, it's early in camp. You haven't played a single preseason game yet. I think it's more than enough time to go out and get a Colin Kaepernick and have him ready for week one of the regular season.
The interesting thing about this is that I think, you know, from afar, we've all looked at the Kaepernick situation. I at least I've said, hey, whenever the injury occurs that's a backbreaker for a team out there, a team will take a chance on Kaepernick. I know that every time another quarterback is signed but Kaepernick, it becomes a story. People react to it. But I didn't think, Manny, that we'd be having this conversation
right
about the Dolphins.
No.
I mean, I said that, I know, knowing there's 32 NFL teams, I thought if there's a decimating injury to somebody's quarterback, then Kaepernick could be in the equation. But just to give you an idea of connecting the dots, Josina Anderson from ESPN tweeted out earlier today that Kaepernick's name has been brought up within the Dolphins front office as a potential insurance option at the position. And then another piece of information for everybody. This was a story that kind of went under the radar this offseason, but Archie Manning was interviewed, and he said that Adam Gase contacted Peyton Manning after Tannehill's injury last year. Right. So once that Cardinals game ended, Gase at least put a feeler out there. So for as much as, you know, I said good things about Matt Moore, and I think Adam Gase has confidence in him, it's not out of the realm of possibility for him to explore other options. Just want to put that as some perspective. Now, the thing with Kaepernick is that, yes, he's polarizing and he's been a hot button topic, and I don't think it's all been because of him kneeling during the national anthem, but also as it relates to the South Florida connection.
Right.
He was wearing the Malcolm X shirt that had a picture of Fidel Castro on it. Armando had a back and forth with him on a conference call the week of the Dolphins 49ers game, and he didn't seem to have his information down or seem to be sensitive whatsoever to everything that Fidel Castro has done to the people of Cuba, and of course, what that means for the people of South Florida who are so connected to that.
Right. Well, he's not the first guy to make some offensive statements about Fidel Castro here. I don't know if you guys remember the whole Ozzie Guillen incident when he was the manager of the Marlins. So, look, people can recover from dumb comments. In Colin Kaepernick's case, I think there's too much talent to be had there. And it's pretty clear to me that every team in the NFL at this point, I didn't necessarily believe it last year, but I do now, having seen some of the quarterbacks that have been signed and how he's remained out there, that this is a concerted effort by the owners not to have him on a team. Stephen Ross, on the other hand, if you remember, I mean, things he said about Kaepernick in the past and regarding players taking a knee during the anthem, he wasn't necessarily critical of them. So I think, as far as ownership's concerned, I think they would be more willing to take a chance on Kaepernick maybe than some other franchises. So, look, I know there's a lot of people out there that don't like Colin Kaepernick for those reasons. And obviously the text line, we've got a few texts from listeners who obviously don't like Cap for those reasons. But if you're the Dolphins, you're trying to win games this year, you don't want to just throw the season in the garbage can if Ryan Tannehill is seriously injured. I don't think you can go through a whole season with Matt Moore. I think you need to bring somebody in. Matt Moore is a fine backup. He can win you a handful of games a year as a backup, but he's not going to take you through a 16-game schedule. And if I'm a Dolphins fan, I'd say go out and get Kaepernick. He's 29. He's in the prime of his career. He's not going to cost you a ton of money. You don't have to make a heavy commitment to him. So low risk, high reward.
Well, you mentioned Stephen Ross having commentary about Kaepernick. We're going to hear from him in a few minutes, what he had to say, actually, on the first day of training camp. But let's go out to the phone lines, man. We've got some people been waiting by patiently. 786-360-0079. If you want to get involved in the conversation, Kaepernick, Cutler, Matt Moore, who do you want to see play quarterback? If I don't want to make this a definitive thing, if Ryan Tannehill doesn't recover from this latest knee injury. Let's go first to Miami, where Raj is standing by. Raj, thanks for the phone call. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'd like to say I agree on the Kaepernick thing. I feel that if there's so much controversy going now over the anthem, it'll start just a bigger controversy within the organization, and the fans will start not going to the game because of the whole Castro thing, and that's not good for the Dolphins with the whole new stadium renovations. The only way I see that happening is if Stephen Ross wants to do something messed up on his way out, because from what I read, he was on his way out as an owner. They're making him sell the team because he voted against Las Vegas. But as far as Cutler goes,
well,
I think he's going to be too
first things
overweight.
First, Raj, hold on one second. I've never heard anything like that. I don't think Stephen Ross is being pushed out whatsoever. And in fact, I think
he's the only one that voted against the Vegas.
Well, he is, but that's fine. He voted against that because he actually put up his own $500 million to renovate this stadium here. And I think that there was a principle in place where he feels it's very important to keep teams in their hometowns and have some history there. But I don't think by any means that they're trying to force him out. I'd say the contrary.
He's making him sell the team.
That's not happening. So, anyway, okay. I'm going to let you go, Raj. I mean, that's a completely different topic here.
Right, right. Yeah, I don't know where he was going with that, but I guess, again, there's a lot of people down here who just don't like Kaepernick, I think, who still would be offended by the situation and if the Dolphins were to sign him. That said, I'm sure the moment he starts winning games, they're going to forget about that. I know how this fan base usually is. If you're a winner, and not just this fan base, but any fan base, when you got somebody who comes in and wins games, forgiveness just sort of happens in sports. So
I agree with you, and I don't think it's South Florida. I think it's sports fans in general. Now, could you characterize the South Florida sports fans, you know, maybe as more into winners than other places? I don't know. We don't need to go down that road necessarily tonight, but don't you think most sports fans, I mean, once you start piling up the W's or if you're putting up nice stats, then even if there's something that was controversial, borderline offensive, that you tend to overlook that pretty easily if the product on the field is good.
Yeah, no question. Look at all the guys who come back from mistakes in their career. Michael Vick, you look at baseball, all the guys who were caught with steroids and you know, the fact that they were able to come back from suspensions and so forth. I mean, people make mistakes and end up coming back from it. Adrian Peterson, the whole scandal with his son. You know, I just think I understand Kaepernick was a big issue last year, but as some of the texters point out, he did say he's not going to take a knee anymore, that taking those sort of political stances are sort of done for him. If he's really focused on football and he can help you win as a Dolphins fan, I'm taking that over 16 games of Matt Moore. And that's not a disrespect on Matt Moore. It's just the season's just getting started, and the last thing I want to hear is that my starting quarterback's going to be done for the year.
Certainly. I mean, what a terrible way to start the month of August if that is the case. Let's go to Homestead, where Eddie has been standing by. Eddie, thanks for calling the show. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, good afternoon. First, I mean, I'm offended and insulted by you guys saying that here the I'm a Cuban-American, and my family lost everything in Cuba. Family members were killed by the Castro brothers, that we're just going to forget what Kaepernick wore, what he said, because he's going to win us games. We're sorry. If the Dolphins signed Kaepernick, they could kiss my season tickets goodbye. I want my money back. And also, it's not only about kneeling for the national anthem. It's wearing socks with pigs on it, saying that the cops are pigs. So I don't want to hear that he did not know what the Castro brothers do. We don't live in North Korea. We live in the United States of America. So you can use your phone or any device to find out anything about anybody.
Eddie, thanks for the phone call. Appreciate you telling us how you feel. Here's the thing, Eddie. I don't think that Manny and I were trying to speak for you or anybody out there. I think that we were speaking in generalities that typically a fan base, and not every single person individually, but typically a fan base looks past some egregious errors from an individual or from a team if there's a winning product on the field. With that being said, I think there are people in our audience right now, Manny, that feel like Eddie does, because that if there's ever been a sensitive subject to the people of South Florida, and rightfully so, it's issues with Castro in Cuba, and we can understand completely why. So Eddie just voiced his opinion. He said that if the Dolphins sign him, he's going to get rid of his season tickets.
Right. Well, listen, I'm Cuban-American. My parents were born in Cuba. I actually wrote a column the day Castro died and what it meant to my family and how, for me, you know, I suffered for them. I felt terrible for them with all the suffering that they went through. But it was just a different feeling having not been in Cuba. And I feel like there's a lot of people my age, I'm 39, who are children of Cuban immigrants in here in South Florida that are now adults, and they hate what their parents and family had to go through, and obviously what Colin did was offensive. It upset a lot of Cubans and Cuban Americans that live here. That said, to me, people say a lot of stupid things. They do a lot of stupid things. Athletes, particularly over the years, have done those things, and we forgive them one way or the other. They end up continuing their career. What's happening with Kaepernick now, it's different. It's been taken to a different level with NFL owners. And I just think, you know, if you want to be offended by it and you don't want Colin Kaepernick, totally respect your opinion. But I think you need to think about maybe the other times you accepted an athlete back on your team or felt okay with it when they made a bad mistake. And I think that most of us do that. We just sort of, hey, you know what? That guy messed up. I was upset with him as a fan, but I forgive him now because he's helping my team win. And I think a lot of people think that way in sports now. And again, it'll be interesting to see if the Dolphins actually go out and sign Kaepernick, what kind of effect it might have on tickets and people showing up and complaining or voicing their opinions, not happy with the move. But We'll see. We'll see what happens. I think for the most part, guys like, was it Eddie?
Eddie, yeah.
I think guys like Eddie that have strong opinions, they're going to go out and say it, but I don't think it's going to be the majority. I think most people, if he can help the Dolphins win, they'll be supportive of that.
It's an interesting topic. I mean, the way I've interpreted Colin Kaepernick, and listen, I'm not Cuban American, but I was, I don't want to say like completely offended, but I felt really, you know, you get that awkward feeling when you hear somebody making an argument, you're like, oh my gosh.
I can't believe you did that.
Yeah, I can't believe you did that. That's very insensitive. And like, why on earth would that even, that thought process even cross your mind? And then you elaborate on that for the world to hear. Like, my interpretation of Colin Kaepernick has been that he hasn't done anything illegal, right? Mm-hmm. So you're talking about, you know, NFL teams or NBA teams or MLB teams, you know, giving a pass to people who had a criminal history. Heck, we saw Greg Hardy, who got another opportunity with the Cowboys even after he was accused of some heinous things in terms of domestic violence. And there have been other players who've been accused of or charged with domestic violence who still getting more opportunities, and nobody seems to be upset about that.
Right.
I mean, Michael Vick, his situation, everybody thought he wouldn't be able to come back from that, and he certainly has. And I think everybody looks at him fine now, despite his issue with the dogfighting. I'm not trying to compare the two. I'm just thinking of other controversial subjects that we've seen. But with Kaepernick, I viewed him as somebody who is at times a very misinformed and uneducated social activist.
Listen, a lot of these young guys in the league, they didn't grow up studying the world, you know, reading on the internet. They grew up playing football and trying to survive through football. So I'm not saying all of them are this way, but there's a good majority. I mean, I've covered football in this city for a long time. You come across the bright kids and you come across the guys that are just not informed. And Kaepernick, to me, comes across as somebody who's been malinformed when it comes to Fidel Castro and what he did here. And that doesn't make him a horrible person. It just makes him somebody who's misinformed. And, you know, if he can play football and help the Dolphins, like I said, there's been other people who've been forgiven in sports and come back and had good careers. I don't think what he did is necessarily to the point where you ban him from playing the sport that he can play.
I agree. He has made some poor choices and some, I think he's expressed himself in regretful ways on certain topics. Mm-hmm. The other thing that bugged me, just as an American citizen, and listen, like, none of this has bothered me to the point where I say he shouldn't have a job at football. But when we found out that he was, you know, on this social activism kick, and this was the main, I guess, basis for and motivation behind all of what he was doing, and then we found out he didn't actually vote in the election.
Mm-hmm.
That was one to me. I was like, alarm bells are going off in my head. Like, wait, hold on a second. Like, isn't that, whether you believe in our democratic system or not, I mean, isn't that the ultimate way to try to at least enforce some change? I mean, that's probably the most powerful tool we have as American citizens. And he's out here preaching about this, preaching about that, and, you know, making moves about this, making moves about that, and protesting, and then he didn't even vote in the election. Thereafter, just question some of your common sense, and you lose a little credibility when it comes to whatever type of activist you are, if you do that. But that's neither here nor there. Hey, Manny, we not intentionally, but we've stirred up some conversation.
We've hit
here.
The hornet's nest.
Yeah. So we got a lot of people on hold here. I would ask you to be patient. We're going to take a quick timeout. And when we come back, we're going to try to knock out as many of these phone calls as possible, keep the phone lines open, and we want to make this into a dialogue between us and everybody else. So we want to hear everybody's opinions. When we come back, we'll get to the phone calls and also give you a quick Dolphins report in just a moment as well. Stay tuned. Much more to get to here on 7-9 of the Ticket. Fantasy football players, win your league. Come to the Ticket's third annual Anajar Levine, John Clayton Fantasy Football Camp with special guests, CBS Sportsline's Jamie Eisenberg, Saturday night, August 26th at Sport of Kings at Gulfstream Park from 6 to 9 p.m. It's free and win some exclusive one-on-one time with John Clayton Saturday afternoon. Just register now at theticketmiami.com. Anajar and Levine, accident attorneys, call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. Sponsored by Palm Beach Harley, by Ripit Energy Fuel, by Crave Jerky, and by Champion 4x4. For more details on attending for free, go to theticketmiami.com. Welcome back here to 7-9 of the Ticket. Greg Likens alongside Manny Navarro. As we continue on here, we've got the phone lines absolutely
lit
packed.
Up. Yep.
Absolutely. All the phone lines are lit up. So we're going to get to everybody in just a moment. Before we do that, Want to make sure we get to this. So this is the Coconut Creek Auto Mall training camp update. Coconut Creek Auto Mall, friendly and knowledgeable at the price you want. Sponsored by Sandbar Grill in Coconut Grove, home of the Fish Taco, named Best Sports Bar of 2017 by the Miami New Times, by Concierge Men's Wellness. EDPE got you sidelined. Get back in the game. ConciergeMens.com. And by Lexus of North Miami, an amazing automotive experience. I know all the talk today is about Ryan Tannehill's injury. The Ted Larson injury, I think, is an under-the-radar serious one because they didn't have a lot of depth at guard to begin with. They didn't. He was really the only person they brought in to address that position in free agency. This will now, at least this is Barry Jackson's report, he may have a torn biceps, so it could be a season-ending injury. Maybe not as long. He's going to miss time, so it could be an Isaac Asiata who gets the opportunity now. I didn't want this all to be negative about injuries, Manny. So I figured for our Dolphins report, I at least share. Grant, we got something new?
We have something new.
Yes.
According to ESPN, Jay Cutler is interested in the Miami Dolphins job.
There you go.
Wow. There we go. Breaking news. Maybe that's our Dolphins report. I don't know if that's positive or not. I was trying to keep this positive. Grant, thank you for that new piece of information. As it's, in talking to Curtis and Perk earlier, it was like every few minutes they had something new about the Tannehill story. But to try to make this a little positive so Dolphins fans aren't too down in the dumps, Devontae Parker has been one of the hot names to have a breakout season. Sean Jefferson is the wide receivers coach, has worked with him very closely. This is what he had to say after practice about Devontae Parker and the upcoming season.
He'll be a monster. You know, if he keeps progressing like we think he can, he'll be invited to the Monster Bowl after the Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? His name is not Devontae. He's a monster. So if he keeps performing like this, he'll get invited to the Monster Bowl after the season's over.
There you go. So there's a Monster Bowl, the Monster Ball, rename a monster, but they're expecting big things, I guess we can read between the lines from Devontae Parker.
That's encouraging because the guy is obviously talented and obviously Jarvis Landry has that whole contract situation going into the next year. If Devontae Parker can step up his game and become one of the best receivers in the league, maybe you don't have to spend that money on Jarvis Landry. I don't know.
It's a valid question, and I think a lot can change depending on how he performs this season. So this was the Coconut Creek Auto Mall training camp update. Coconut Creek Auto Mall, friendly and knowledgeable at the price you want. Sponsored by Sandbar Grill in Coconut Grove, home of the Fish Taco, named Best Sports Bar of 2017 by the Miami New Times, by Concierge Men's Wellness. EDPE got you sidelined. Get back in the game. ConciergeMens.com. And by Lexus of North Miami, an amazing automotive experience. All right, let's not wait anybody or make anybody wait any longer. Let's get to the phone lines. Let's go first to Cutler Bay, where Angel has been standing by. Angel, thanks for the call. What's going on?
Fascinating topic, guys. Fascinating show. Great conversation. And if you allow me to make a couple quick points here and express, as a Cuban-American, he's 39-year-old Cuban-American. I'm a young guy also. Why I would never want Kaepernick to be on my team, why I would not allow him to be in the NFL ever again. Two quick points. First, my team. Reason being, the whole Cuban thing, it stinks that he had to wear that shirt, that he made the comments he made. But it further shows me that he's not dealing with a full deck. Because if he's kneeling because he's protesting the treatment of African-Americans by the police, by the government, the treatment of human beings that are being mistreated, why would you wear a shirt of a person who is one of the biggest criminals on the planet's history, who has killed so many people, who has slaughtered people, who has done nothing but evil, and then try to make that person out to be a martyr or a hero, which is what he did. So to me, you're dealing with a guy who's literally the village idiot who doesn't know anything politically of what he's trying to even make a stand for. That's not the guy I want in the huddle. That's not the guy I want on my team, filling the minds of other younger players with nonsense and BS. Now, that is my personal opinion as far as why I don't want him here politically because of being a Cuban. It insulted me as a Cuban-American. Now, as an American, I'm also insulted because of the fact that when he took a knee, it wasn't that he was protesting the police. He was protesting the flag, the United States of America. He was protesting the country itself that gave him the ability to play football, to be the person that he is. And while I understand you have the freedom of speech, which is in the Constitution, that means you have the freedom of expression, freedom of speech verbally. You do not do that when you belong to a company or a corporation like the NFL and you're a player under their rules. You have to follow the standards of the league, which was what he did is going against the standards of the league itself. Mind you, the league is not going to come out and say stuff like that. Some of them are going to be supporters, some of them are not. But you can see all the owners are getting together and colluding and blackballing them for a reason. Back in the 50s and 60s, anybody who came out and had anything communist dealing with them personally were blackballed from Hollywood, from anywhere. Why? Because we are not communists in this country. And here's a guy who's wearing a communist T-shirt kneeling against this country. Okay, that's a communist. That's who he is.
Well,
this is why I do not want him on the NFL. Why I applaud.
Yeah, I got you, Angel. And I appreciate all your points there. We got a lot of people on the line, so I want to be fair to everybody. Thank you for the phone call, and thank you for expressing your opinion. And as Manny pointed out earlier, I mean, we're open to hearing everybody's opinions. And so if that's how you feel, we want to make this an open resource for you to vent a little bit. And so, listen, that is, to a certain degree, what a Stephen Ross, in this case, has to
listen to
keep
it.
In mind.
Yeah, he's got to hear it.
If part of his fan base is going to have that sort of response, then that could hurt the bottom line. So we'll see what everybody else feels. Let's go to Jose, who's on a mobile phone. Jose, thanks for the call.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, Jose?
Well, I just wanted to weigh in on the Kaepernick situation. I don't want to bring, obviously, party politics into this. There's already enough of that in here. But I just want to start by saying I'm super Republican. I'm super right wing. I'm not extremist, obviously, but I'm super right wing. And I'm all for Colin Kaepernick coming to the Dolphins. I mean, yeah, he may have his, you know, his issues and his controversies, but at the end of the day, it's a football team. We're watching football, and it's a sport. And, I mean, the guy can play. If you look at his stats from last year, he played 12 games, threw 16 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, QBR of 90. Not really exactly sure what makes up a QBR, but that's high up there in the percentages. So he can definitely play the game. He, you know, he has the resume to play the position, fill the position. We have a great receiving core, a great team that, I mean, I think it would be foolish to just leave it at the hands of Matt Moore. No offense to him, but he's a backup for a reason. And, I mean, just give the guy a shot, you know? I mean, people, like a lot of people have said here, a lot of people have done worse. I mean, and as some other people have pointed out, you know, maybe he's going to affect the ticket sales. I think it's going to be the opposite. I think more people are going to want to tune in and see, you know, how is he going to do? Is he going to be able to actually play? Is there going to be any controversy? I mean, I just think it's a lot of upside. And from a business standpoint, any investment, you know, you got to weigh out with risk to reward. There's absolutely zero risk. You know, if he's terrible, if there's too much controversy, you know, you just sit him and you throw him at more. But, you know, he could also play very well, lead us to the championship, I mean, the playoffs, and we could see what he does.
All right, Jose, appreciate the phone call. There you go. That was pretty level-headed response there.
It seems like people are just on both ends. You know, it's just
a couple of extremes.
It's without question, we are all sitting here talking about Kaepernick, and it's polarizing because people have such strong opinions about it. And it's good. It's fun. It makes great radio for us, you know?
That's for sure. Let's go to Willie in New Jersey. Willie, thanks for the phone call. What's going on?
Hey, what's up, Greg? How are you, man?
Hey, Willie, it's been a while. I'm doing well. What's going on, man?
I'm just chiming in on everything. First of all, I don't want to get ahead of myself. I know everyone is going crazy. It's been a crazy day down there, I'm sure. But, I think he's going to be fine. I think it'll probably take a couple weeks, but I think he's going to be okay. I think everyone is really getting ahead of themselves with everything. As far as Kaepernick is concerned, Greg, I don't want him on my team. I'm really not for political reasons, just because I don't think he's all that good. And if they had to go that route, I would much rather see Jay Cutler on the team, especially with his history with gays, which he definitely has one. So, that's just my personal thing. But I think everyone's kind of jumping the gun. I really do. It's been a very odd day, and hopefully Ryan, you know, he gets some rest. It was a hyperextension, I believe, and I know they're doing further tests because they'll do, you know, they're going to test him. But I the fact that he did not have any tears, and I hopefully, and I'm very optimistic, as you know, Greg, hopefully he'll be fine, and we'll be able to move on from this craziness.
Yes, Willie, I'm right there with you. It's been a crazy day already, and it's odd that, you know, it's only August 3rd, and you could be talking about the quarterback being gone for the season potentially, but I like your optimism, Willie. Thanks so much for the call.
All right, be well, brother. Bye-bye.
All right, take it easy. That's Willie in New Jersey. He's been calling me for a long time. Always on the Dolphins and always stays positive, which is nice. Real quickly, just update what Grant had told us earlier. It's Jeff Darlington, who's very connected to the Dolphins, who's now with ESPN. He said, I'm going to read his tweets. He says, here's where it gets interesting. I'm told Cutler is interested in delaying his TV gig to play for Gase, but it would need to be starting job/money. Dolphins could slow play Cutler decision since they are the only team, I'm told, Cutler would consider leaving his TV gig for at this point. So for now, Dolphins can afford at least some patience. External options, Cutler, Kaepernick, etc., and internal ones more, both exist.
Cutler wants starters' money?
That's what...
That's comical.
Jeff Darlington
is
saying.
How much money has he stolen from teams up to this point? He wants starters' money? Are you kidding me?
That's, again, I mean, that's why with the Kaepernick situation, that's one of the things that I've never been clear on is how much money he wanted, you know, from teams. We're not privy to that. But with Cutler... I mean, I understand if he's going to come out of the broadcast booth, you want to be compensated nicely, but starters money, you're talking about like at least $18 to $20 million.
Right. Well,
and that's a hefty chunk of change for a guy who just retired and nobody else wanted to sign him.
Yeah. Well, and I think the relationship, obviously, with Gase, he believes he could come down here and probably be a good quarterback in the system. He, you know, obviously the Dolphins have some good receivers, a solid running back in Ajayi, Pro Bowl running back. It'd be a good situation for him to get, you know, sort of come back and finish his career on a better note. But he's 34, and if you watched any Bears games last year, I mean, he was terrible. That team was terrible.
And he's not a great guy to have in the locker room either.
Right.
From a leadership standpoint.
Right. And that's, again, as some the other caller pointed out, and I said earlier in the show, to me, Colin Kaepernick's in a position where you're not going to pay a lot of money for him. You don't have to make a heavy commitment. He just wants to be on a team and given a chance to show what he can do. I like football players who are like that, that are sort of in a no-win situation, desperate to come out and perform at their best so they can get a bigger contract. Low risk, high reward if you go with Kaepernick. Cutler, on the other hand, he's 34, looked terrible last year. I know he did well in Gase's system, but you get to a certain point where your career's over, and I think he's at that point.
That's Manny Navarro. I'm Greg Likens. We're filling in for Josh Friedman. We need to take a quick time out here. We'll come back. We'll get to more of your phone calls. Appreciate everybody's patience as everybody wants to talk about Tannehill, Cutler, Kaepernick. Who is going to play quarterback from this Dolphins team? We'll discuss that and more coming up. Plus, a reminder, at 8:15, O.J. McDuffie will join the program. At about 8:40, Susan Miller-Degnan will join us to give us an update on Kane's camp. That's right.
That quarterback situation.
Yeah,
right?
There's another quarterback situation that is hot right now in South Florida. We'll be back right after this.